This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. What's the biggest charity in the United States? Let me be a little more specific. If you had to guess which charity raised the most private money, what would you guess? The United Way, maybe? Or the American Red Cross? Or how about the Venerable Salvation Army? Well, wrong, wrong, and wrong. The biggest U.S.-based charity in terms of private funds raised is the Fidelity Charitable Gift Fund, a spin-off of Boston-based financial services giant Fidelity Investments. According to the Chronicle of Philanthropy, for the first time, the Fidelity Charitable Gift Fund sits at the top of its rankings, the so-called Philanthropy 400. The fund collected $4.6 billion in 2015, a 20% increase over 2014. The United Way, now at number two, collected $3.7 billion. The Fidelity Charitable Gift Fund is a so-called donor-advised fund, but some critics see such funds as more of a tax shelter than an actual philanthropy. So joining us now with more is Stacey Palmer, editor of the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Delighted to join you.
So first of all, tell us, how big of a deal is it that the Fidelity Charitable Gift Fund knocked the United Way out of number one?
This is earth-shattering news in the philanthropic world, and our readers are fascinated to see that this happened. You don't often see a charity that was created in 1991 rise to the top ranks, surpassing those century-old charities like United Way, Salvation Army, Red Cross that people think of as charities. So it's pretty remarkable.
So the Fidelity Charitable Gift Fund, then, has had a very fast rise in terms of how it's able to raise and collect money. Now, it's a donor-advised fund, as I mentioned here in the introduction. What exactly is that, and how does it work?
It's sort of like a charity checking account. You make a donation, give the money, and then you can decide whenever you want when you want to give the money away. But you get a tax break right away, and that's why people like these things. Let's say you had a terrific year in the stock market and you'd like a deduction, but you're not sure where you want to give. You put the money in, get your tax break, and then you can decide what causes deserve your money.
Okay, and Fidelity has made it very easy to donate to this fund, right? Now it's like one of those sort of one-click things?
It's extraordinarily easy, and that's the other thing people like about it. The technology is terrific. You just go in, and it's pretty seamless. And when you go to a lot of charity websites, they're fairly clunky. It's not the kind of thing you want to do from your mobile phone.
Right. Now, not everyone, though, can give to these kinds of donor-advised funds. I see that the minimum someone could give to the Fidelity Charitable Fund is $5,000, but the United Way's average contribution is some $360, and there's an online minimum for the United Way of $5. So this is the kind of, the Fidelity charity is really sort of for the wealthy.
It is. It's definitely the kind of thing that only affluent people can take advantage of, and we certainly see the growth being the result of, as the 1% has done so well, they are giving to charity, and that's exciting news, but it's putting the squeeze on charities that depend more on the middle class for donations.
Okay, so I want to talk to you more about that in just a moment, but help me understand some of the regulatory framework around these donor-advised funds. I mean, what are there limits in terms of how long money can remain in the fund?
You've touched on one of the things that's very controversial. You can keep the fund, the money in there forever if you'd like. There's no regulatory rule. The IRS isn't going to come down on you and say, oh my goodness, you didn't give from your gift fund. And as a matter of fact, you can die and, you know, the money might never have been given away. And then Fidelity would give it out to any kind of cause that it thinks suits your needs. What Fidelity does is, if you haven't given any money away in 3 years, they nudge you and say, you know, this really is about giving. You should give a small donation at the very least from your fund, or else we'll take the money and give it away for you, because they don't think it's a good thing that people let the money sit for too long. But there are no rules at all.
There are no rules at all. Okay, so, I mean, is it...
The only rule is that you can't take the money back.
You can't take the money back.
You can't take the money back. That's important.
But you enjoy some significant tax savings by putting the money in. So, I mean, is it more of a tax shelter than a charity?
For some people, it could be. For other people who really just want a very easy way to put the money in one place and then dole it out and have good records and not have to worry about it, you know, they might put the money in and then it goes out the door. One of the things that critics of these funds are frustrated about is, not only are there, you know, very few regulations, there are no rules about what you have to disclose. So we really just don't know. We know that Fidelity donors granted a lot of money, so much money that they're nearly as big a foundation as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation if you took all the aggregate together. So money is definitely going out the door, but you could have a very big fund and not give anything, and we would just never know.
Wow. Okay. So, because I'm seeing that the Chronicle of Philanthropy, to your point, reported that the Fidelity Charitable Donor Fund has some $15 billion in assets under management, and they gave $3 billion in grants to nonprofits last year. Again, and if they kept up that pace, they'd be right up there with the Gates Foundation in terms of grant making. But you know, just to see the flip side of that, you're right that this is a big deal in the world of philanthropy, because I was looking at some of the comments on the Chronicle of Philanthropy's website on the story about this, and there was a really interesting comment from someone saying, hey, like, isn't there kind of a conflict here, because Fidelity, Charles Schwab also has a similar donor advised fund. These commercially based funds make money when their donors don't give from their giving accounts, because I guess, you know, the funds are making money. Someone has to administer that.
Somebody's managing them, exactly. So, you know, there really isn't an incentive for a Fidelity or Schwab to say, give the money away. They're better off when they're managing the money. Now, they say that they don't make a lot of money off of these funds compared to the zillions of dollars that they invest, you know, in all the other ways that they do it. So, you know, it's true that they make some money, but they say it's not the reason that they do this.
Yeah. But I see that the Chronicle has also reported that this kind of giving to donor advised funds could very soon represent 10% or more of all charitable giving in the United States.
Yes, it's huge. And yet most people haven't really heard of these donor advised funds. They're not nearly as popular as something like the Salvation Army, but clearly a lot of people are giving and giving very generously to them. What bothers the critics of these funds is that overall giving in the country has always hovered around 2% of GDP. And so I think people would feel better about these funds if they were actually adding, and we all of a sudden saw that Americans were giving 3% of income to charities. Then we would see growth. But right now, it just means that, you know, if money's going into Fidelity, it's not going to local small groups, other organizations that might really need the money.
Huh. And finally, Stacey, again, as you said, this is a hot topic in the world of philanthropy, and I think a lot of people were asking some pretty good questions, and one of them was, since we don't know so much about who's putting money in and where the money's going to these big donor advised funds, there's also this issue of how do we know how much these donor advised funds, in the words of one of your readers, do they reflect the true, quote, charitable character of American donors? That, like, how do we know where, you know, where their values are, where they want to put their money, where they think, you know, how they want to have an impact on the civic conversation or the civic well-being of the country?
Yeah, that's one of the challenges. We don't know where the money is going. Organizations like Fidelity do surveys of their donors, and one of the things you'll find is, you know, that they give, like a lot of other Americans do, to education, when natural disasters strike, those kinds of things. So at least we know sort of what kinds of causes are popular with the donors to these funds, but what we don't have is a detailed listing. And one of the reasons some people use these funds is, let's say you're giving to a controversial cause and you don't want people to know that you're giving to it. You can give anonymously, and that's a great thing, to be able to have that ability to give quietly, you know, when you don't really think that you want other people to know about it.
Well, Stacey Palmer is the editor of the Chronicle of Philanthropy. She's helping open our eyes to the world of donor-advised funds. The Chronicle of Philanthropy's Philanthropy 400 put the Fidelity Charitable Gift Fund at the top of its list in terms of money that it's raised, a whopping $4.6 billion in 2015. Stacey Palmer, thank you so very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.